Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It's lovely to see you. And for those who are listening online, a very special welcome to you today. We here at Abbotsford, a group of people from all backgrounds and ages, we have come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way. And God's way is according to the Bible. And so we invite you to know God with us, whether you're gathered with us here this morning or listening to us online at Chiswick or at Bayswater or anywhere. Listening in to us this morning. Involved in the service today is Lynn. Lynn's going to read the Bible to us. Young Lan will lead us in prayer and help us at the table. And our musicians today are Adele and also Rosemary and Linda. Our songs today, we've got a couple of wonderful hymns that we're going to be singing to start with to remind us of God's faithfulness to us. And so please, those of you who know the hymns, sing up big as they remind us of God's faithfulness to us. The service today is one of the Lord's Supper, where we remember not only God's great love for us in Christ Jesus, but the love we ought to have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We invite you to come to the table and remember and give thanks. The Bible teaching this morning continues through the Lord's Prayer, and today we're thinking about what do we mean when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Our mission focus for this month has been on the work of the Bush Church Aid Society, in particular Pharisees over in Kununurra, and Young Lan will be praying for them. We've also been mindful of hospital chaplaincy, in particular David Anthony's. The sentence of scripture for today comes from Psalm 104. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Please stand and let's sing our very first song, our very first hymn, "Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer."
Thank you.
just turn around and say, good morning, welcome to church, the Lord be with you. Take a moment to greet people if there's anyone new. Special thanks to any visitors. Wonderful. Please stay for morning tea and let's continue the fellowship. We'll pray for the kids as they go. Take a seat and we'll just pray for our youth and kids now. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for children and we thank you that they're reminded to us to have faith like a child in regards to our relationship with you, Jesus. Go with them now, we pray. We thank you that they've come along and want to learn of you and grow up to be young people and older people who love Jesus. We thank you for those who will be teaching them today. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The scriptures remind us there that God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But we fail to honour him as we should and to respond to his love for us. And so recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let's come together and let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbour and to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and you forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life as you have promised. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures, that their precepts, their promises, directions and light. In them may we learn of Christ, grasp his truth and have grace to follow in his steps. Amen. As Lynn comes to read to us our first Bible reading, can I encourage you to either open up your pew Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 verses 24 to 34. You'll find that on page 971 in your pew Bibles, or to your news and notes, and you can follow along there on the handout or on the screen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will wear or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry in saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lynn. In response to hearing God's word read to us today, let's affirm with Christians across the ages our confidence in the God who has spoken. Let's stand. What do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the whole Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, or to the handout inside your bulletin, news and notes with the Bible reading on it that Lynn read to us. Thanks, Lynn. Well, this morning we continue our Bible teaching through the Lord's Prayer, and it's Matthew chapter 6. And again, just someone was described what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer is are like pegs. I mentioned this last week, are like pegs on which we can hang all our prayers. Everything we will ever ask of God and how we ask of them from God belongs under one or more of the requests that we find in the Lord's Prayer of God. Well, so far we've heard that there is purpose in the Lord's Prayer. It begins with a reminder of our relationship with God. We can know God not as some distant ideal creator, as if of the universe, as if he has no interest in us at all, with his creation or with any of us, but we can know him as our own loving heavenly Father. Not like our earthly fathers, good or bad as they were to us, but as children of a perfectly good Father, Heavenly Father. And that our Heavenly Father is not just my personal, unique Heavenly Father. He's my God. It's not just that. Now, the Lord teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that he is our Heavenly Father, yours and mine. And the relationship that he has brought us into with himself is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is one that is corporate. It's a corporate one, one which we share equally with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're praying when we pray, Our Father. And with this, it brings a reminder of our responsibility to be mindful not only in our prayer, but in all things of our unity, of our oneness in Christ, as one body, one family with God. And so as God's children, the place for us to begin is not with ourselves and with our needs in the Lord's Prayer, but how does the Lord get us to pray? And pray in every way. He gets us to pray with respect and honour for our Heavenly Father. And so we begin by saying, Hallowed be your name. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he teaches us to begin with God, with his Father, with our Father, and with his glory. And God's name is to be hallowed, honoured, respected, and feared. For his name, who he is, and what he has done for us should be truly related to as one who is holy. Our holy Father, hallowed be your name. How will God's name be hallowed? Where his kingdom comes. Or in other words, where his kingly rule rules. When and wherever the gospel is preached and people are invited to gather in and hear. When people respond in repentance and faith, love and obedience to God's word. And they become clothed in the wedding garments of Christ's righteousness and welcomed in. And God brings all his children in and under God's good rule, governance and glory, now and to when Christ comes again, there his kingdom comes. How will God's name be hallowed? How will his kingdom come? It will be hallowed. And it will come by God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what we looked at last week. God's will is more than God's willingness to do something, as we would use the word will or willingness in its meaning. God's will is that which he commands and desires to be done, and we are to do out of respect and obedience to him. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Secret, discernible, or revealed. Everything that happens is woven into the purpose of God, and nothing that happens is outside of his will. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1, verse 11. God works all things for the good of those who love him. Romans 8, 28. God is sovereign, and that means that his plans always prevail. And as we heard last week from Revelation chapter 4, in heaven, in the heavenly control room where God is, where the Apostle John was privileged to have gained access was allowed to have access into and see, there he saw in the heavenly control room what was then is now there and forever will be. All is calm. God is on his throne. God is in control. And God's will is done and will be done and will prevail. Always. And all there we heard cry out, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation 4, verse 11. In the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, We're asking of God that just as your will is done in heaven, Father, may it also be done here, just like that, on earth. So when we pray, your will be done, we're asking for faith in what God has kept secret, unknowable to us, to trust him and pray that it be done. Wisdom in what God calls us to discern from his word to do. And obedience then in what God has revealed, to do what God has plainly told us his will is for us. And just as the angels do God's bidding willingly, without question and without delay in heaven, we're praying that we too, knowing the perfect goodness of God, would do his will as confidently, loyally, and as promptly as they would. Our Father who lives in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our first thought about prayer in the Lord's Prayer may be that prayer is a way to get God to do our will. But in the Lord's Prayer, it's not, is it? It's not. Jesus makes it very clear in teaching us the Lord's Prayer, in these opening words of the prayer, that it is completely the other way around. The purpose of prayer is not that God should do our will, but that we should do his will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, having told us the priorities of prayer, we now come in to talk about the things that we need. And so we come to the remainder of the Lord's Prayer. And today we consider, give us today our daily bread. What are we praying for when we pray? Give us today our daily bread. Wholemeal, sourdough, multigrain, white, sliced, unsliced. What's another lot? Fruit and loaf? Is that what we're praying for? Well, to help us understand, we turn to our Bible reading this morning, to Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Verse 24 there, you'll see there read, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. What are the two masters? And why can't we serve both? All right. You cannot serve both God and money. The first of the masters is God, and the second of the masters is money. You cannot serve both God and money. Firstly, why are they described as masters? This helps us to understand why we don't serve both. Why are they described as masters? They are the two dominant powers that vie for our dependence in and for life, aren't they? Why can't we serve both? They stand poles and oceans apart, that one cannot have a foot on both. We depend on either one or the other. As Jesus helped the rich young ruler to discern in Luke 18, verse 22, as to help us understand where our priority and loyalties are, it's a good little test to do for ourselves. It's not a prerequisite, but it's a good little test. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, so as for him to discern, you still lack one thing, my friend. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will find treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Good little test for each one of us to actually determine whether we are trying to bridge the two masters and live in both worlds. Okay? Psalm 104, verses 27 and 28, our sentence of scripture for today. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. The verses that follow in Matthew's gospel there, in Matthew chapter 6 there, the ones that we've got for us this morning, Jesus actually gives the solution as to who to choose. God faithfully provides and satisfies what we need. God is the one who gives, and God is the one who will always give. Follow along with me as I read it to you. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Firstly, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why will God faithfully provide and satisfy what we need? Because we are valuable to God, and he knows what we need. Because he will give, and he will always give. We are to come to him for life's food, for hunger, for thirst, and for life in general's clothing of meaning, to find fullness and satisfaction for life in all its fullness in Jesus, in God, who opens his hands and satisfies always with good things. Taste and see, the Lord says, that the Lord is good. Give us today our daily bread. Well, the word bread in the Bible has many uses. Just do a word search through the Bible and you'll see that there are many uses of the word bread. It's usually used just to describe bread, as in Judges 19, verse 19. When asked when a gentleman was asked what he had with him, he said, oh, we both have straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for ourselves, your servants, me, the woman, and the young man with us. We don't need anything. So it's just there used as meaning bread, general bread. Then on occasions it's used to describe all food, as Job says in response to accusations, Job 23, verse 12. I have not departed from the commands of God's lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So there he's referring it to all food, all general food. And also it's mentioned in Psalm 37 in regards to all our needs. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Psalm 37, verse 25. And by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 and 10, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Then again, bread is used on special occasions and it has a special significance in the Bible. It might take on a meaning, for example, in a ceremonial or symbolic way or theological way or in remembrance. For example, in Exodus 12, verse 8, and it's used in the Passover meal. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Also of manna in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. In Exodus 16, verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. It's used as a teaching tool. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, bread is. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's used in wise sayings to live by, Proverbs 30, verse 8. Keep falsehood and lies far from me, Lord. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And it's used by Jesus, isn't it? In the Lord's Supper, in the Last Supper, in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." And it's used of the church, practicing hospitality, eating together, sharing meals. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, teaching and proclaiming the gospel in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 24. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The bread is used there in the context, in the Lord's Supper, of proclaiming the gospel. Jesus also used the word to describe himself, didn't he? And our need for him and what he's done for us. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And so, mindful of these many uses of the word bread in the Bible, what are we praying for when we ask, "Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread"? I take it, knowing the goodness and faithfulness of God, that we are loved by him and that he knows what we need, and that he is the one who is able and will give us what we need. We're asking of God to satisfy us with what we need, not with what we want, but with what we need, so as to depend on him as our master, our Lord. Why give? Why the word give? Because he can, and because he will. And with this in mind, we're actually pray the word give as a proclamation of him already having done it, so much so that he does it. We're not asking him to do it for him to choose whether or not he will give it to us or not. We're saying, "Yes, Lord, give us our daily bread as you have promised." Do you hear that? As we pray that, "God, give us what you've promised. Thank you. We appreciate. Give us today our daily bread." But chiefly because he wants to. He wants us to come to him and ask for him to give it to us. He's willing and he's able. That's why give is there. Why today? Well, that we live each day as it comes, not getting ahead of ourselves and forgetting that Christ will come at any time and fulfill our greatest need to be with him forever. Today, that we live this day as today, as if the Lord is coming tonight or any time, because he could come at any moment. Why daily bread? So that each day we are reminded to live it in humble dependence on God and with thankfulness in the one who is our bread of life, Jesus, whom we have to come to and but we have come to and believed in. In regards to life, we have found fullness. We have found in him our hunger met, our thirst for meaning and purpose found, fully satisfied in Christ and knowing him. Why give us today our daily bread? I take it like the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're being reminded that the daily needs we need met by God are the daily needs that need to be met today and every day by our brothers and sisters in Christ also. That we don't think just it's about me, it's about us. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. Are you letting yourself be satisfied? Who is your master? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Amen. Please stand and let's sing the next of our great hymns. Great is your faithfulness. Let's lift the roof with praise. be seated, and young Lance now to continue in prayer for us.
Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we offer. Let us pray for the will to please God. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and constantly give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour on us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, we praise you for being a perfect God and a good God. Thank you that you reign in all things, both in heaven and earth. We come to you to pray what is on our hearts and give you our burden so that our yoke is easy and aligned with your will. Thank you for your grace of hearing our prayers. We pray for mission. Lord our God, we ask you to strengthen and encourage all those ministries are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society, especially the Pharisee family in Kananura, for Daniel and Becky and their children, Rachel, Jessica, and Emily. Thank you, Lord, for their current long service leave. We praise for their good rest. We pray for the locums in charge of their church, Barry and Joe Dudding. We pray that God will bless their 3 months of ministry in Kananura. Refresh Daniel and Becky and renew their spirit so when they return, they may be full of inspiration and renewed strength. We ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the government and society. Loving God, you have made all people in your image and you care for the poor and distressed. Make us a just society, where the rights of all are acknowledged and upheld, where those who are oppressed are made free, and where corruption has no place. Give companies, social institutions, and governments the desire to act for the good of all, rather than for the advantage of a few. Empower Christians to model the values of your kingdom in all their relationships. Hasten the day when Jesus will return to establish justice and your eternal reign for the glory of your name. Amen. We also pray for rain ahead of our coming summer, predicted to be hot and dry. We have seen raging bushfires in Hawaii and Canada and extreme heat across Europe. We pray that Australia will be prepared and ready when the heat returns to us in the coming summer months. We pray for your wisdom with Bushfire Management Authority so that the best preparation will be in place against the bushfire season so that we can protect the lives, houses, and the nature and animals from the fire. We now pray for the world. We pray for South and North Korea today. We praise for your grace of protecting and holding South Korea so far away from the danger of nuclear attack from North Korea. Thank you for the economic prosperity and industrial expansion of South Korea you granted so far. Please grant the Christians to pray eagerly and walk closely with you to be a beacon of light. Let your will be known to Christians in Korea and help them to pray for your will. Raise young people to join the missionary work to spread the gospel. We also pray that you will raise the leaders who fear you and please grant them your wisdom and clarity to reign the country with your justice and righteousness. We pray for North Korea. Please help all the idolatries to come down and sweep the country with your revival by the power of your Holy Spirit. Please free the people from oppression and hunger. Grant them faith that they can preserve the hardship till the country is unified one day. Please be with your people and grant your resources and provision to those who serve you and lead Christians to grow. Let the people taste your goodness, grasp your hope and salvation. Please give them their daily bread. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We also pray for Niger that is going through political instability and uncertainties. The borders remain still closed. We pray for wisdom for the juntas, the West African bloc, ECOWAS, and the international leaders to find a peaceful solution to resolve this political crisis promptly. We pray that the crisis is not going to lead the country into religious conflict and crisis. We pray that you will protect all Christians during the conflict, and they will not lose any spiritual territories that missionaries have built till now to spread the gospel in this country. We pray that the elected President Mohamed Bazoum, still detained by the juntas, may be released. Please have mercy on this country and the people. Please come to their rescue. Amen. We now pray for our local church. We pray for our church here at Abbotsford. Thank you for new visitors added to our church. May they find Abbotsford Church as their home. We thank you for your words are taught faithfully in this church through Sunday services and Bible studies. Continue to grab our attention and mind and heart so that we may see your glory more and more in this place. Help us to walk with you in humility and awe and continue to pray to you with supplications. We thank you for the upcoming Women's High Tea event with Naomi Reed. We praise you that Naomi has accepted the invitation. We pray many will come and hear her journey of faith and be encouraged by her testimony. Now we pray for those who are sick, facing an operation, ones with life-threatening illness, those who are lonely and hurt, those who are in times of distress. You might just take a few minutes just to pray in silence. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear our cries to you, our loving Father, and lead us all as pilgrims through darkest valley into the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Come to me, Jesus said. All you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, which we are about to share, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. Come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of sharing in this way. If in good conscience it would not be right for you to participate, please use this time to reflect on God's love for us and for you in Christ Jesus. But knowing the goodness of God and the times we fail to respond with love and obedience, let's confess our sins together. We do not presume to come to you, your table, merciful Lord, but trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Please stand for a moment. This is a little reminder of who we are. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you then, and always with you. Just turn around and say, the peace of the Lord be with the people around about you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. We are the body of Christ, for his Spirit is with us. Please take a seat. Lift up your hearts now. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. Together, to Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, as you came in today, you would have received the news and notes. And if anyone's visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. This is a time where we just go through what's happening in the life of the church. And immediately after morning tea today, we have a parish council meeting. For those who are on parish council, please come and grab your morning tea and we'll come and have our meeting together. You'll notice in the foyer, as over morning tea, there are still some opportunities to buy a card, a Father's Day card from MAF. And the money for that Father's Day card will go towards the providing of a fuel to place a plane in the air with MAF to be able to provide needs for those in remote parts of Australia. The details are there in the foyer if you wish to buy one of those Father's Day cards. Next Saturday, if you can remember, in prayer, playgroup is inviting the dads to come and have experience of playgroup. And so it'll be here in the playground here, and we're inviting mums, the dads, the kids, and grandfathers and grandmothers as well that are part of the playgroup there. So if you're thinking about that on Saturday or leading up, please pray for that. That's a wonderful way of connecting with our families through playgroup. Rosemary, do you want to mention anything further about women's high tea? While she's coming up, Tina is settling in well to her new home. Her details and contact address can be found by going up to Janice and just asking for that there. Yep.
Ladies, we've printed off some more invitations for the high tea so that you can hand them around to your friends or family members that might like to come along. It's on September the 23rd at 2:30 p.m. And Naomi Reed is our guest speaker, and as Young Lan has prayed, we're very grateful that Naomi has accepted our invitation because she is a very popular guest speaker, and she lives in Oberon now, so she's actually going to be travelling all the way down to Sydney for us that day. So we're very grateful. So if you can uphold Naomi in prayer, she's a very gifted and talented speaker and has some wonderful heartfelt stories from her time as missionary in Pakistan. So if you'd like to come along and hear her, it will be a great time. It's at 2:30 p.m, so note on your little handout, we have moved it forward for Naomi so that she doesn't have to travel back too far in the dark, back up to Oberon. So instead of at 3 o'clock, we've just moved it forward to 2:30 that afternoon. And there is a sign-up sheet on the back table for you and some more invitations, so grab some and take them to your friends. Thanks.
If you would like prayer specifically for you or for someone you know at this time, with their permission, you can come in up the front today and pray. Young Lan and Tony will be happy to pray that prayer for you. Thank you for giving towards ministry in this place, either through the envelopes or through the online giving. Thank you for meeting those needs, being for the gospel to go forth and for us to be taught of God's word in this place and beyond. After morning tea, please, as we're having morning tea, please continue to keep that COVID safe part of things. Really important to do. And before we leave, let's stand and sing our next song. Again, this one's a modern one, but it reminds us, tying in with the theme of what we've learned today, give us today our daily bread. Our God who does never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He'll be continually faithful in all he does. Creatures look to you, God, to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. To love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.